Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning into our second episode of the New Home Star Podcast Women in Leadership Series. This is Mary Lindemann, Director of Builder Operations, and today we are very excited to welcome one of our senior sales leaders here at New Home Star, Susan Bolin. Welcome, Susan. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
You bet. So for those of you who don't know Susan, which most of you probably do, Susan has been with us for 3 years at New Home Star as a sales leader, with 28 years being in real estate and 18 in new home sales in general. She's worked everywhere from Southern California to Washington and Idaho, and now recently has taken on a regional role within New Home Star as a senior director of sales. Susan, so getting into new construction, it's somewhat of a secret gem, and it's an unconventional path in real estate. How did you get started in real estate in general?
I started in real estate in the Seattle area. So I had small children, and I kind of was drawn into real estate because it kind of runs in my blood. My grandfather was a general contractor, kind of grew up in the industry, and kind of a small unknown fact about him. I grew up in the Chicago area. And, when he was young, he actually was a handyman for Mr. Sears from Sears and Roebuck.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so he did a lot of work for him in the Chicago area. I grew up to be a small contractor in the small town of Grays Lake. And then my father became a superintendent and kind of moved up in more on the commercial end of the business. So I grew up in that business and kind of was attracted to it. And just was very attracted to the real estate business. So when I was in the Seattle area, went into general real estate when I was into my 20s, moved into Southern California, and just kind of had an opportunity, just kind of fell into my lap to move into new home sales. And so I'd always been attracted to new because who wouldn't love to sell something new versus resale? Yeah, I sold resale for 7 years, and it's not as nice to sell the resale older stuff compared to the new stuff, and I was always attracted to the architecture of the new. So got into new home sales, then went into the public builder route, and did that for 14 years.
Wow.
So, yep.
It's wonderful. So new construction kind of has been in your blood then. Mm-hmm. Growing up, I know your grandfather and father, they were in the construction real estate industry, but growing up, what did you want to be?
Okay. When I was very young, my mother was a teacher, so I kind of wanted to be a teacher like my mother. Aww. And kind of like to work with people and help people. But I kind of, my passion and my love when I was probably more like high school age was always kind of art and architecture. So actually in college, I was an interior design, graphic design major, so I was very attracted to kind of the arts, which is somewhat related to, you know, homes and new homes and so,
yeah,
and real estate. So that was kind of my passion and my love is kind of that creative side of the business.
Yeah, I did not know that. Well, that's awesome. So you love the design, you love the architecture. What would you say you love most about this industry in general?
I think what I love the most really is, other than a passion for architecture and the design of the home, I really, once I got into it, I really have a passion for people and I really love helping people. So when I was in the sales and in the field, really liked the joy of helping people through the process of helping them through the process of home ownership and taking them through, especially with new homes compared to resale, which was such a short process. New homes, you really develop a relationship with your customers. Mm-hmm. It could be anywhere from 4 to 7 months through that whole process. So you really develop a relationship with your customers, with your realtor base, and it can, you know, they can last for years with these people and referral base with these people. So I really enjoyed that whole experience with the customer.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. The people, you do have to love people and love the process to be a part of this industry, which I think most of us can relate to out there in the field. So recently you've been a sales agent on site. You've worked the model homes. You've been a sales manager. You've been a director of sales. And now most recently a senior director. So definitely moving up in the career path. What would you say, I know you love the industry, but if you had to name one or two things, what's the most difficult aspect about your job?
probably the one of the most difficult aspects of the job is what you love the most is the people, right? So the people part is what we love about the job, but it also can be probably one of the most difficult parts of the job, because when you're in a service oriented business with people, we don't always have the most positive outcomes with the people in the business. So we have people that are upset about certain processes in the business, and we have people that that we're having to deal with in the process. And I even think more so in this age of technology and with things being so fast paced, it just appears like within the last like 5 years, people get so frustrated with the process and people wanting things right now. Mm-hmm. You were having to deal with things on such a fast paced level and having to deal with customers that get upset so very quickly, and with social media, with them posting things with their frustrations and wanting responses very quickly. So I would say that that is something that's the most difficult to deal with in my particular situation.
Yeah, and it, I would say, you know, we're not building widgets, right? We're building mm-hmm. homes, a very personal experience for people. And also a very imperfect experience, right? I mean, there, I think, are more than 38,000 parts and pieces of a home that's built in the elements by mankind. So
with human hands, with imperfect pieces of material, yes.
Yeah, definitely makes it different. So that's kind of interesting. You touched on how your experience has maybe changed from when you first started in the business to what you're experiencing now. It's more time sensitive. People want more convenience. Is that what I'm hearing?
Oh, most definitely. Definitely want more convenience. They expect, customers expect immediate response. Leads expect to be followed up with very quickly. So response time is very important for both customers that we're following up with, both on initially when they're interested in a home, and also once we have them as a customer with follow-up.
What other contrasts have you seen from when you first entered the workforce or entered real estate 28 years ago to today? Are there other differences you've seen?
It actually almost seems like it's more difficult today than it was, say, 20 years ago. Even though we're building, selling, and closing as many homes, it sometimes seems like at least the backlog follow-up, and it seems like the customer whole process, even though we have all this technology and all these systems that seem like it would make it easier, sometimes it seems like because the customer expects more of us, it seems like we really have to be even more on our game than we were 20 years ago, because they expect more from us with all the innovation.
And let's be honest, we have very well-educated customers nowadays.
Exactly.
You know, we have the internet. They have a lot of tools at their fingertips that they can learn about the process even mm-hmm. before setting foot inside a sales
exactly.
center or model home. How, from your previous experience in general real estate, and then working, you had mentioned the public builders, to now working at New Home Star, how have your experiences varied?
Oh, resale is more about selling yourself. It's not really knowing about a product and representing the builder. It's more so selling yourself. So yourself is the product, right? So when, mm-hmm. when you're working for a home builder and you're representing a product and a home builder, it's all about knowing your product, your home builder, selling the area, builder, community, and really knowing what you're selling. You're not selling Susan.
You have to be an expert.
Right.
You have
right.
to be.
Right. And in resale, they always used to tell us the houses sell the houses. So you really didn't have to know anything about the product. You just showed the product. So mm-hmm. it's a very different dynamic. The difference between working for a public home builder versus working for New Home Star is the public builders, especially when the times changes and you see a lot of ebbs and flows, they really don't care about their people like New Home Star cares about their people. So they make a lot of changes. You see a lot of changes in senior management. So within a 3-year period of time, it's not unusual to see changes at that upper level 2-3 times. And as they see that changes 2-3 times, they do a lot of turnover. Where at New Homestar, they're all about developing their people mm-hmm. and keeping their people. So, and there's a lot of training. I didn't see the type of training that we have here at New Homestar at any of the public home builders. It was basically, here's your key, here's your map, good luck selling a home. And you either made it or you didn't make it. So a whole different kind of culture and environment at New Homestar than you would find at a public home builder.
In terms of New Homestar, I mean, I wouldn't even know what our retention rate is, but people rarely leave. I mean, this is a company people want to be at and want to grow old with, which is so nice. I think it's why people like you and I and many others out there have gravitated to and clung on to New Homestar so hard, because it is definitely a very innovative place in the new construction industry, which we know is can be very challenging. You really have to be on your A game in this industry.
And there's certainly a loyalty at New Homestar that you do not see at the public home builders, because at the Publix, you will see a lot of the sales agents, as soon as they're finished with the neighborhood, there's no loyalty there. They will go with another neighborhood, with another public home builder, whoever it is they can sell and make the most amount of money with, is what I would see.
Yeah, and I would say here, I mean, even myself included, you see a lot of people at New Homestar moving around to different markets, taking on different challenges, because it is so important to stay with the company versus so important to stay in one place.
And I would say that our career path that we have developed here for our individual team members is very unique. You would never see an opportunity for such young associates or people young in a career to be able to develop so quickly in an organization. I mean, typically when you're with a public home builder, it is very difficult to move into a management or a growth role so quickly to be elevated into those positions. Where here, if you embrace the New Homestar system and you follow the playbook and it's something that you want to do, you can progress very quickly on our career path.
Well, so with that being said, what advice would you have with all of your industry experience and New Homestar experience in general? What advice would you have for somebody looking to get into the industry? What would you tell them? What would you tell that young Susan who is just getting started?
I would say don't try to do it Susan's way. I would say try to do it the New Homestar way and just follow the playbook. So don't try to figure it out yourself. Don't try to, you know, reinvent the wheel. We already have the playbook. So just follow the playbook. It works. It's proven and it works. So that's my advice. So
no, that's great advice. It reminds me of a saying that Keith McKinney said to me one time, and I loved it. I still think about it all the time, but it's no one is bigger than the brand, right? There's a lot of smart people who've put together this process and toolkit we have, and we're continually updating our training and our practices. So we have a system. It makes a lot of sense to follow it.
And it works.
Absolutely. So you were recruited from outside of New Homestar, obviously, and you've gained a lot of respect quickly while moving up the career path. So besides following the New Homestar playbook, what advice do you have for our current agents that are looking to advance in that career path?
I would say follow the career path, and follow the playbook. Don't be afraid to ask for help and draw upon support from your peers and the corporate team. And don't be afraid to fail, because we all fail, and don't be afraid to fail. So
get forward, right?
Yep.
Well, I think there was one time we were all in a van. I think it was at a quarterly director training last year, coming back from a Cubs game, and somebody was asking a question, and I think you were in the car with me, and we were tallying up the number of years of management experience that was sitting in the car answering the question, and it was something insane. And so we tallied it up for our whole group, and it was like over 200 plus years of sales management experience. So it's pretty cool.
And we can't be an expert in everything. So that's why we like to draw upon the national experience of the whole team, because I can't be an expert in everything, but you may be an expert in something that I'm not an expert in. So that's why I need to draw upon your experience.
Work smarter, right?
Yep.
Let's work more efficiently. So what, if you have a new candidate in front of you, a potential candidate, what impresses you?
Drive. Number one is probably drive and energy. Because those are two things that you cannot teach, is drive and energy. You can teach all the new Homestar practices and processes, but you can't teach the drive and the energy. So we're looking for personality traits when I'm recruiting. So
absolutely. hire for the characteristics and traits and train the skill, right? Yep. So as a woman in the construction industry in general, so we know this is an industry where it is mostly at the executive level male dominated, but you do see a lot of really strong women when they are in this industry. They're very strong, very talented. What do you think has helped you the most stand out and gain respect? You have a reputation for gaining respect and standing out amongst all of your builder partners. So what do you think that is? What's that it factor that you bring to the table?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I would say keep your promises. So I would say if you promise you're going to get something done and you promise something to whether it's someone on the executive team, to your people, keep your promises. So be a woman of your word. Yes.
I like that. That's great. So let's transition, also wonderful, Susan, but let's transition a little bit to a little bit more on the personal side.
Okay.
We want to know, Susan, how do you define success?
How I would define success? Well, I am a mother, so I would define success that I've raised three boys. I have three boys, and they're all adult boys, and they all successfully have graduated from college, and I feel like I've done my job because they've all, you know, been able to graduate from college, and you know, they all have careers.
Not surprising coming from you. Just saying.
But also waking up in the morning with a smile and feeling passionate about what you do when you wake up in the morning, and being able to go to bed in the evening and feel good about the day. So yeah. I would say that defines success in your life.
Yeah. What would you say, and personally and professionally, what would you say has been your biggest accomplishments?
Oh, what has been my biggest accomplishment? That's also a great question.
Thank you.
greatest accomplishment, of course, again, is going to be my children, because that's, you know, those are my boys. That's a great accomplishment. Professionally, I would have to say not anything one in particular that's been a great accomplishment, but in general, great accomplishment is I love to develop people. So when I can see that I've worked with people and I've developed them, and I can see them rise above even myself, and I can see them being able to progress above where I am in my career path, that gives me such great joy. Because it's like raising children. That's why I like it. It gives me such great joy to see that you can bring someone on and see their strengths, see their weaknesses, help develop them, and then see them rise.
Well, and it's just you build that personal relationship with them, friendships even sometimes over the years. And I couldn't agree more. I think that's a big commonality amongst a lot of the leaders here at New Home Star is people development. Do you have anyone you would say that you look to for inspiration?
The one I look for the most for inspiration, and this is actually kind of more personal, would be my sister. My sister actually lost her husband 6 years ago in a motorcycle accident. And she had three kids that were home. She had twin daughters that were 14 and a son that was 16. And it was quite tragic, but she turned that tragedy around. And you know, there's a lot of pain that goes through having to be a single mom and raise those kids. And she developed a nonprofit organization to develop scholarships and grants for kids that lost parents in Barrington, Wakanda. And then she has that foundation that they, which that charitable foundation that she founded. So I am just so proud of her that she took that loss and then turned it into something good. So she's my hero.
Yeah, I have literal goosebumps right now. That's amazing. So yeah, I think a lot of us could look to her for some inspiration, huh? Well, what do you do? So nothing's perfect. And we just talked about this a few moments ago, but you had mentioned, don't be afraid to fail. Everybody fails. What do you do when you fail?
Well, now I try to look at my failures as, okay, I'm okay with it. When I was younger, it was really hard for me to fail. Now I'm like, okay, no, it's just part of the growth process. So now I try to like analyze, you know, what did I do wrong? kind of write it down. What can I do next time so that doesn't happen? And maybe kind of bounce the ideas off of my mentors. And, you know, we all have mentors in this business mm-hmm. that kind of help us along the way. And
you get one of mine.
Yes. And get some feedback of, you know, what could I have done better? Can you help me from your experience? See, maybe put a different set of eyes on this of help me of, is there something that I didn't see to help me work through it different the next time?
Yeah, absolutely. So you do look to others to give you feedback to see if you maybe have blind spots yes. you're not considering.
Yes, yeah. For sure.
Very, very wise. Well, so something that Deb and I, in our first episode of our Women in Leadership podcast, discussed was we talked a lot about morning routines. We were discussing the book Ninja Selling, and it talks about building kind of a routine for yourself in the morning to help set the stage for the day. Do you have any routines, morning or night, or throughout the day, that help you in your day, help you be focused, they help you prioritize, something that somebody listening right now might be able to take and implement on their own?
I'm not as consistent as I should be with my morning routine, but a couple times a week, and I'm trying to be more diligent about doing this on a regular basis this year, but I try to get up early in the morning and do like a hot yoga class in the morning, because that does help center me for the day. It helps me kind of get my mind in the right place. The one thing that I have made a consistent effort on not doing that I was doing last year was I try for the first hour to not look at my email and not get on my computer for the first hour of the day, to try to fix myself some breakfast, to try to relax the first hour of the day so I don't have my head completely in work. And I do try to make a list for the day before I start my day. And then I end my day too by, you know, reviewing my list and looking at my list and my schedule for the week. And that does kind of help me plan.
So that helps you kind of prioritize your day, prioritize your week. And I think that what you said about the email is actually a really important thing. A lot of people should hear on this because I am guilty. I'm the person 10 minutes upon waking, I open my email, and it's probably not the best mentally to start your day. You really should get yourself started, you know, take some time for yourself and get yourself in a focused zone, if you will, before doing that.
So I had a real problem with it. I was getting up like at all hours of the night. I was getting up first thing in the morning and constantly getting on the email, and then I couldn't get off of it. So I recognized that it was a kind of a problem, and I had to reprioritize that this year. So
that's good. So it was maybe a habit that wasn't very productive.
Yes.
What so do you read a lot? Do you listen to books on tape? Are there any books you're reading right now?
I do enjoy reading. Right now I'm reading How to Influence Friends, How to Win Friends and Influence People in the Digital Age.
Oh,
so it's
okay.
The new book, but it's kind of a new flair on it with our whole new social media and the digital age, and it's kind of been updated. So that one I'm reading, and then I'm rereading The 7 Habits, because that's a phenomenal book, and I every time I reread that one, I just get extra little nuggets from that book, because that's like, it's a hard book to read, but it's just the best book.
Yeah, it really is hard to kind of sit there and read. Like, you have to definitely break it down, right? Mm-hmm. But there's a reason. I mean, that was the first book I read, actually, in my professional career, New Home Sales, as well, and I go back to it all the time. Mm-hmm. So I have parts in it that are highlighted, and I couldn't agree more. It's a great book to keep on your coffee table. So this is kind of a fun question. If you could have lunch with a well-known figure, alive or not, who would it be and why? Mm.
You know what? I think it actually would be probably Frank Lloyd Wright.
Oh.
He's an
architect.
Yeah, he's a famous architect who I really respect. And I really respect because he had all of his designs were form, follow, function. And he integrated his architecture with nature. But yet, if you look at his architecture, it's still like very modern. If you look at it today, even though he designed it, you know, years ago. And I would just be very curious to see with technology how he would innovate today. So that would be very interesting to have lunch with him and see how he would use today's technology to innovate in designs of our homes today, how we would integrate technology into home designs. So
very cool.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense based on your interest in architecture and design. So to end our podcast today, I put together a series of rapid fire questions.
Okay.
You have not seen these.
I have not.
So these are going to be the first things that come off the top of your head. And yeah, I thought it would just be a fun thing for us to do for people to get to know you a little bit better. But here we go. Okay. You ready?
Okay.
Okay. Phone or paper? Do you prefer things in paper form or do you prefer to paper. Have it electronically?
Paper.
Paper. Flying or driving?
Flying.
iPhone or Droid?
iPhone.
Favorite real estate app?
Oh, I don't know, Zillow.
Favorite city?
Santa Barbara.
Ooh, that rolled right off the tongue. Heels or flats?
I like heels.
Cats or dogs?
Cats.
Morning or
no,
night?
No, I meant dogs. Dogs.
Dogs. Morning or night person?
Morning.
If you could travel anywhere today?
Italy.
Wine or beer?
Wine.
Red or white?
White.
Okay, last question, and this is gonna... You're gonna create some fans and some enemies right now with this one. Team Huntsville, led by Corey McPherson, or Team Greenville, led by Cliff Foster? Whose side are you on?
Corey.
Oh, you guys heard it here. Corey, you're welcome. Susan's Team Corey. And Cliff, there's still time. You might be able to sway her. So thank you, Susan. Thank you for playing with us in our game of rapid fire. That was a lot of fun. Thank you so much for your time. We know how busy you are, but it was so fun to hear your story. I'm honored to not only be your coworker and colleague, but also to be your friend. This was a lot of fun for me today, and I hope everybody listening enjoyed getting to know you a bit better, as much as I did. So with that being said, do you have any parting words, Susan?
I would say... commit maybe to the process, keep your word, and never lose that fire that you had when you first got into the business.
Commit to the process, keep your word, and never lose the fire. That's pretty great advice to live by.
Yeah, I would say that those are the three main things. Yes.
Great. Thanks, Susan. Thanks for being here. I hope you all enjoyed our second episode of our Women in Leadership podcast series. We are having a lot of fun doing it. Stay tuned for next time.